Hello, everyone. My name is Jay, and welcome to Highbrow Theater, a podcast where we analyze theater so you don't have to. Today, I wanted to discuss a tingly topic. We're going to be discussing ASMR and the theatricality of it all. And to help me with this discussion, I brought along one of the silliest and funniest people I know, Cody. Hello, Cody.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing dandy. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm very excited to be here.
Good. I'm glad to have you. This is going to be a good one. I can tell already.
I'm excited.
Okay. So let's get chummy. What have you been up to?
Working. Just trying to survive quarantine. Lots of reading and chilling with friends like you. And yeah.
Oh, now, in layman's terms, what is it that you do? Because honestly, I'm not sure if I'm still aware.
Okay, so my official title is like digital support lead. But yeah. Basically, I run a service line for a specific product. I used to be a project program manager. The best way I could describe that is, you know, in elementary school, you have, like, group projects and shit. Oh, yeah. Can I cuss?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Okay, so you know. Okay, so you know in, like, elementary school, you have, like, group projects and shit. And, like, the teacher will assign, like, all of the roles. And then you have, like, the team leader or whatever. And, like, they're supposed to make sure everything gets done in a certain way. That's basically what I do for a living, like in a grown-up way. So we would have like actual companies or places will have projects or programs or things and basically say, we have to achieve this. And then someone will come in and say, okay, if you want to achieve that, these are all the people that you're going to need. This is all the stuff that you have to get done. And then make sure everyone does those things and like meets the specific timelines. And so that's kind of what I do. So basically do that and then like lead a team for... But I do that like exclusively within a specific product. That's a terrible explanation. So my apologies.
So I think a good summary is that you're a girl boss.
Yeah. So you can call it that. That works. I'll take that. A boss ass bitch. Let's do that.
You've heard of WAP. Now get ready for our BAB.
Yes. I'll be a BAB.
I want to discuss how we met, because honestly, I think, because we met during, we met during isolation. I think that hits different when it's isolation.
Yeah.
Because no one was quarantining.
Yeah, no, at that point.
Yeah. And I think it's important to, I don't know, discuss personal connections, because I feel like that's been getting lost.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All this.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, we met in isolation. It was at the beginning of the pandemic, but I don't even want to say that it was the beginning of the pandemic. I want to say that it was at the beginning of a new period of time for relaxation and comfort when Animal Crossing New Horizons came out. Like, yes. Realistically, that was kind of our joining our joining event in that. So we have common friends, and then we all played Animal Crossing together on Discord, and we would hang out and go to each other's islands, and we would have events, and it was so much fun, and I loved it. Jay throws a wonderful fashion show.
I did throw a fashion show.
A wonderful fashion show. And it kind of just went from there. And now Jay's one of my best friends. So I'm very happy and fortunate that happened.
I can't wait to meet you in person.
I know, we still haven't met each other in person. That's crazy.
So since this podcast is theatrically based, I was wondering, do you have any theatrical experience, personal? Because I know you get like the whole vibe of what ASMR is doing, but like actively participating.
So technically, I was in high school theater, but not all 4 years. I think I was only in my junior and senior year, and both years I did one act play. And then for most of our other shows, I just did tech. Purely theater experience, that would be about it. But outside of that, I also did debate and persuasive speaking, and I feel like that requires a lot of acting and bullshitting. So we can maybe include that too. I don't know.
You guys have a script, you know?
Yeah, so you go in. Yes, actually, with debate, you do so. So in, it's so funny. So with debate, yes, there's two types, LD and CX. Both with LD, you have to go in with a defined, like, affirmative case that is pre-written that you have to go and read and defend and talk through. And then in CX, you basically... you try to predict how it's going to go, and then you bring, like, things to talk to in certain scenarios. So basically it's like, you know, those choose your own adventure stories, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, okay, if this happens, go here. If this happens, go here. That's basically what, like, a CX debate round is you go in, figure out what their case is. And, like, as certain points get hit, you'd be like, okay, now flip to this page. Here's what we're going to do. And it's just kind of like going through that. But that's persuasive, yeah.
It's literally improv.
Yeah, that's basically, that's all CX debate is just straight up fucking improv. And then persuasive speaking is the same thing, where basically they go in and they give you, like, basically they have, like, a defined list of topics, and you'll draw one, and you have to basically just make something up on the spot. So you have, like, I think, I don't even remember how many minutes. You have, like, a few minutes or whatever. You have a time period to come up with what you're going to say, just on notes. Like, you get to bring it, like, a note card or whatever. You make notes and be like, okay, I want to hit this point. And then you walk into a room. Mind you only had, like, 10 minutes to prepare. You just got the topic. And then persuade the entire, like, all the judges to believe everything that you're saying. And that's persuasive speaking. And that's fun. That was good. But same type of thing. It's all very much improv-esque.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds very... You did theater.
Yes.
With a capital T.
There you go. Yes. And, like, I mean, realistically, if you want to go back to the career, that's basically what I do for a living. I just bullshit. Like, we're being completely honest. Fake it till you make it, baby.
Perfect. Let us dive into the meat and potatoes of this. So we're talking about, again, ASMR and the theatricality of it all. So for those who don't know, ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. Some people experience it and some don't. The telltale sign of experiencing it is a sort of tingling sensation on the crown of your head. Do you get that, Cody?
Yes, I do. Right. Absolutely, I do.
It can also happen in real life unintentionally. Maybe a teacher in elementary school had a soothing voice while reading to the class, or maybe you are sitting in a quiet library and just listening to everyone type. That type of situation has made its way over to YouTube, where a very large community has grown. I've been watching personally for about 7 years. How long have you been watching, Cody?
I'm trying to think. Probably like 4 or 5 years. Like maybe a little bit longer. It was, yeah, I say probably like 2015, 2016 is probably when I started. But when I started, I didn't know it was ASMR. Like, you're right. Like, you start, you watch things that you don't necessarily know they're ASMR until later on. And that's the type of thing it was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone has their own goals with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Specifically, you can get relaxation ones, things to focus, mm-hmm. sleep aids. Some people just do, like, talking with your best friend so you can have company and other things like that. And also, if you're feeling down, there's positive affirmation videos where people just tell you how good you are.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Oh, man. So I know you said that you were looking at things that you didn't know were ASMR. Was that kind of your first experience with it?
Yeah. So, like, back around that time, I have, like, some autoimmune type stuff. And so specifically, like, for, like, pain management and things, like, I was, like, I remember looking up, like, YouTube videos of, like, pressure points and, like, massages and, like, things like that that would help. And I found myself, like, just, like, wandering down, like, a YouTube rabbit hole of just, like, YouTube massage videos and things that were supposed to help with, like, pain management, like, things like that. But they were all hours long with, like, really soft talking or, like, soft music showing you, like, the pressure points, the best way to massage something. And I know that sounds, like, really, like, maybe a little, like, the way I'm describing it probably isn't the best, but, like, I promise it was innocent in in its search. But I didn't, at that point, I didn't know what ASMR was. I just know that I was looking for pain management, started watching these massage videos, and then really liked them to the point where, like, I would start watching them at night before I go to bed, and, like, they would calm me down, and I really liked it. And that would lead into me watching, like, people getting their hair done or, like, other just, like, self-care type videos, and I just really liked them, and they would give me like that tingly sensation, and like, and so basically I didn't know it was ASMR until later on, whenever you start seeing these videos tagged ASMR, what's that, and so then you start doing your research, and like realistically there's just so many things that are ASMR that people just don't know are ASMR. But that was my first experience, was me trying to, was massage, just some massage videos, looking for pain management.
Well, yeah, that's a whole, I'm going to push back on that it's weird, because that's a whole, like, subsect. There's a whole genre of visual. Like,
yes!
They're not talking, they're just, like, moving their fingers around. Yeah, that's a whole thing.
No, I love, and that's kind of my thing. Like, I'm a very visual, so and that's kind of, I really like the visuals and soft spoken, and that, like, if I'm going to bed, I'll start out watching, because the visuals will calm me down, but I'll eventually, like, put my phone down, and, like, the sounds will, like, take me the rest of the way to sleep.
Yeah. So the thing that Cody is describing, the ones that get you are called your triggers, and they're just different sounds or situations that really affect you positively, you know, give you either just whatever your goal is, it gives you that, gets you closer to that. So mine, we're going to get into role plays later, like the theater part of it, but I love a librarian role play because the typing sounds, the soft speaking, the page turning, and like describing things. Ooh.
I love that.
I know.
I love everything about that.
I know you said visual. Do you have any specifics or any other?
Yeah. So, like I said, it's very like sensation. So, you summed yours up in library, and I'm not a very picky person. Right? Like, everything you described, I love it. And I've definitely watched it. I've watched a very wide range of ASMR. But what I would say is, like, my go-tos, the ones I'm going to, like, go and repeatedly watch could probably be summed up in, like, hands or, like, sensations. So I really like touching or like situations that like I can feel. I don't know if that makes sense, but basically, like, using the massage type videos as the example, like, as they're doing it, right, I can imagine what that feels like. Or if you're turning a page of a book, I can imagine, I can feel that on my hand. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you feel it. Like, so, like, as I'm watching, and that's where kind of, like, the visual stimulus comes in for me, is I'm very visual, and, like, if I'm watching something happening, I am imagining it happen, and, like, I can, like, I have that sensation myself, and that, I think that's kind of what triggers, like, that ASMR tingle type of, like, response. But I really, really like the visual touch type of stimuli, whatever. My current go-to type videos are head to toe assessments. Mm-hmm. Which I don't even watch the full things, because it's not the entire head to toe assessment that is like a trigger for me. What is a trigger for me is specifically like the percussing, which is basically where they press on someone and then tap it. Like, they just tap it a little bit. And it's not even, like, there's not really much of a sound, but it's more of just, like, the visual tapping on the skin. Or, like, whenever they go to press on their backs and they're, like, take a deep breath. And they're always so soft-spoken, so they say it really softly. And then they press on their back, putting the stethoscope on them. It's, like, that visual kind of touch sensation. Like, if I can imagine what that would feel like on myself, like, generally that is going to be, like, a trigger for me.
Oh, well, you were saying that, which I was actively listening to. I was also looking, I can see a bag of Sour Patch Kids, and I'm imagining the crinkling sounds.
Yes.
So, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Since we were talking about on-camera things, I think that this can segue into the production design of ASMR videos. Mm-hmm. I think in my theater brain, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Mise en scène for the French listeners. I know you're out there. I see the statistics. So, some people just like use their laptop cameras and like regular earbuds. And some people have full 2000p HD cameras with a professional mic screen. Oh my God. A professional mic, a green screen. They're really trying to keep the bugs out. And they have a whole set and props and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So from a production design standpoint, I think any set design can work. It just has to go with what's going on and everything has to have a purpose. Do you prefer minimalism or maximalism or a mix?
I think the way you put it is perfect in that it really depends on the context, because like I said, like a lot of the ones that I watch are very much kind of that visual stimulus. And so if it's something where it is like one of those head to toe assessments or like a massage, like, or I won't use massage because those are more maximalism than minimalism, but like, or like a barbershop, like I've definitely watched videos where it's just some dude with like his iPhone camera videotaping himself at a barbershop getting a head massage or something, or like someone shaving his face. There's noises in the background and the camera quality isn't good, but it gets me. I don't know why, but I love it. I love stuff like that. But there's also videos where, like, if it is specifically the role play type, like if it is intentionally ASMR, right? It is not something that is unintentional ASMR, like those head to toe assessments or like someone at a salon or something like that. If it is intentionally ASMR, I generally would prefer like more of the higher quality stuff, because I feel like you're going to get that better audio, that soft spoken, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, like very clear, like you're talking like this and you're very great. Like that type of shit.
Yeah.
And so I'm never going to judge some like a channel if they don't have that full setup, but like I'll be grateful if it is there. But it honestly depends on the context, because I've also watched other types where, like, I remember there was one barbershop channel that I really liked. I watched them. They had barely any followers. And I know this sounds so fucking hipster of me, and I don't mean it to, but like they barely had anything. And like the quality was not great, but I really liked the videos. Like it was very, the voice and what they were doing, I really, really liked it. But then they started getting a lot of followers. And the more followers they got, they upped their equipment and they started being, it became kind of more theatrical, but not in a good way. Whereas like you could tell beforehand that they were kind of building it out and they were doing this thing. But it was like, so here's my thing, I guess I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I really like unintentional ASMR. But then I really like role play ASMR as well, but I want it to be structured and planned almost. Like it needs to be, and like the intent needs to be role play. Whereas with this specific channel, what they did is that they were a functioning business. They were a business that had actual people coming in, and then they just decided to also make their business an ASMR channel. And that to me felt, it no longer was role play. It was them taking advantage of common customers to have like a YouTube following. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't really much investment into actually creating a scene, which is kind of talking about this, is like the theatricality of ASMR, is that you see a lot of these channels will put in like the time and investment to build these things out and to create kind of these things. And I really appreciate the value that they put into that. So when you have something that is, I don't know, is just kind of taking advantage and just kind of using the fact that they got a following and not really caring about what they're doing, it kind of just like puts me off. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that can be said about the different, I don't know, Broadway versus not, I guess, because mm-hmm. you have this like raw idea and it's so like new and exciting and challenging, mm-hmm. but you have to dull it down if you want someone to notice, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, and then you lose control of it, and then it's no longer the little baby you had.
Exactly. Yeah. It just becomes something different. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not what it was before. And I know I probably sound bad as like a fan, right? Because I was a fan of them. I liked what they did, but it became less of a scene and more of like a gimmick, yeah. I guess, is what it was. It came less theatrical and more gimmicky. And so it was disappointing. but to kind of loop back to the question, I mean, it really depends on the context. Like I can appreciate the minimalism.
Because there is a sort of subsect of people who think that it's all sexual.
Yes.
Which, I mean, if you're not digging in at all, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's, and there's a full little group of people that do ASMR like that. Mm-hmm. They live their lives, but, you know, that's the...
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. But I think that's where the problem, though, is where, like, there's definitely, because there is, I mean, a subsect that makes it sexual. And, like you said, you do you. Like, that should... Everyone, like, should be able to do whatever they want. But then it becomes difficult in, like, being able to say, oh, I really like... So I sit here and I'm like, I really like massage ASMR. I like to, like, watch the hands gliding down the back and, like, watching them press into their pressure point. If I'm describing that, right?
Yeah.
It sounds sexual, but I don't mean it sexual in any capacity. It is just, like, a sensation thing, right? Like, it's not getting me... Like, I'm not getting horny watching massage ASMR, right? I'm just, like, appreciating it for the sensation for what ASMR is. And so it's difficult to kind of talk about the kind that I specifically like, because I feel like any of the ones I like could be... it warped into something sexual. I think a similar example to that would be like me with the fan fiction and shit like that, of like, I really like to read fan fiction, but fan fiction is like inherently sexualized, but that doesn't mean that it's all sexual. So just because there is a subset that can be sexual doesn't mean that everything in that cat, like in that genre, is sexual. If that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just went a little, I went on a sex rant. Sorry. Not out of character, but I still apologize.
Thank you. I will take that into consideration. So that actually kind of leads into what the main chunk of today is about, role plays. And I think this is, as they are colloquially known, ASMRtists. They assume the role of a person, whether it be a doctor, librarian, you know, all that stuff earlier. Now, they have to make you believe, because that's part of the experience, you know? Now, obviously, the character that they are portraying is a direct correlation into the casting, but I think a very, very important difference is there is a single audience member, and that is you. I mean, we're kind of doing that right now in a podcast, but whatever. My voice is not relaxing.
Very, I love it.
Stop it. The stage performer puts their feelings out into the audience, and they want them to feel safe that they can keep it and, like, be on the same wavelength. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that can also be into this, because that's kind of their whole... thing is, if it's not believable, it kind of takes it out of it.
Yeah No, I would agree. Definitely, because, and it's kind of like what I was saying before, but even like as a different example, is like, I think there's different types of role play too, right? Is like, mm-hmm. The audience member is you, but there's some where it's not even just a role play with you as the audience member, you are also a performer, right? Like you're not just the audience member. You are a part of whatever you are watching. You are a cast member. You are a part of whatever's happening or going on in any capacity. And that's one type. And that's generally the type where you kind of have someone talking to you, or like you're sitting there and they're kind of talking and they're saying like, oh, like, welcome to this place. Like, I'm so happy to have you. Like those types of ones. And if you get into the equipment conversation, there's a lot of like funky equipment. You can have those types of role plays if you wanted to get into it. But then there's also the side of like where they almost use other people as props. So they create these actual like elaborate scenes where they'll like bring in a friend or like something. So like I know one channel I watched, it was like a girl who's in like medical school or something. And as a part of like to help her confidence and like meeting with patients, she would have her parents or like her family members come in and she would run through her specific script and create like basically create almost a doctor's office in her house. So like lighting, everything, like create a doctor's office in her house, have her like create a script almost for her family to walk in as a patient and then like respond to them as they kind of go through. So it's like almost like this entire scene that they're creating. It is true role play kind of like back and forth. But then you also have the kind where they're talking at you with like fake ears in front that they're sitting there touching and are like giving pauses like for you to respond. Like think Dora the Explorer, like, what color is this? Blue, good job. You know what I mean? Like it's giving the pause. So there's like so many different types of role play and I think everyone's into just different types. Like you can go any way. What is your favorite type of role play though?
I love when if someone's working retail or a librarian or like a checkout counter, something like that, because I know they're going to be nice. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. I 100% know what you mean.
Unless there is also a group that does like hateful ones. They're like, I cuss your ass out soft spoken. Like, it's like mean on purpose.
It's so I know exactly which ones you're talking about. I personally know exactly what you're talking about. But I definitely understand like doing the ones that like you know are gonna be nice. Like you're gonna go in and they're gonna just like treat you with the utmost kindness and you don't have to worry about like the anxiety of also that's the other good part about the role play is that you don't have to deal with the anxiety of how you're supposed to respond.
Yeah.
But it's like the role play part is so like just like it's just nice though because it's also just like the appreciation, like the effort that they're putting into it. Like someone is putting this online and this might sound self-centered, but like for me to appreciate. Like, someone's putting the effort to create content for me to enjoy that gets me out of my head. That's awesome.
It almost sounds like we're describing plays, if I'm being honest.
It's just it kind of is, though.
They come in, and you have to trust them to, like, do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. And it can be either good or it can be bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't like it? Well, theater, you got to stay for the 2 hours, but you can just click off a video.
Yeah, that's a benefit.
But yeah, it's, I know this one woman who, she has like 8 characters in this universe who all interact with each other, and she improvs the videos every time. And it's like 45 long minute videos she improvs and like gets that's our so responses impressive. And something interrupt, be like, so I was, oh, hold on a second. Can you guys be quiet? We're talking over here. Like, full real-life things. And that's everyone's so like, oh my god, you're such a good actress. You're really good at this. And she's like, no, I don't act. And I'm like, that is what you're doing right now, miss.
Yes! That is exactly what it is. Like, you sitting there, that's improv. Like, that's all it fucking is. It's like, the fact that they're able to do that is incredible. Like, that they can sit there and come up with scenes, but not only just the scenes, like, the characters and how they would associate together and, like, how they would build out. That's 100%, like, you are world building. You are creating something. And then you are then, like acting that out. You are sharing that with a community, with a group of people to be able to enjoy and appreciate. Like, what is that if not theater, right? Like, I don't know. Like, that's a lot of effort.
That's the most beautiful thing you've ever said.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But for real, though, like, that's it's a lot of effort to put in and to not consider yourself an actor. Like, I feel like you'd be devaluing what you're doing.
Yeah. I guess that might be a whole different, like, introvert versus extrovert. Like, where you go.
Probably. Like,
when you decide you want to act, you either, there are 2 roads diverged. The yellow one, and I chose. Thanks a lot.
It's fine. We'll walk down the road together, Jay. We'll skip.
Hell yeah.
We'll skip.
To the next one if it sucks.
Yeah. It's a benefit. It's a benefit, right?
Yeah.
That's the best part, right? Is like in a single night, I can start with massages and end in like some, it's like Bob Ross. Bob Ross ASMR.
Everyone should, yeah. That's a standard.
1000% Bob Ross is ASMR.
Yeah, I think that validates everything we've said here today, because Bob Ross kind of invented it and he did a lot of things that people do today.
Yeah, for sure. Like the affirmation, it's almost like a culmination of all the positives that you can get out of ASMR. It's
yeah.
Like the soft spoken, like fucking the affirmations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like the movement of the paintbrush.
Mm-hmm. The sensations, all of it. Yeah. Bob Ross is the ASMR icon, God, just Messiah. Just, I'm just kidding. Probably shouldn't have said that.
That's okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't care either way. But I'm just saying, like, there's just so many different types. Because like even with that, you also have, like, if anyone, you know how you have, like, those oddly satisfying compilation videos, right, on, yeah, like, Facebook and stuff? It's, like, there's so many people that watch those not realizing that they're ASMR. Like, if you've watched a power washing video, that is ASMR. That is 1000% ASMR. It is, if it is oddly, that oddly satisfying part is ASMR. It is, that is the feeling you get in that moment is what other people get watching these other types of ASMR videos, like role plays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That happiness.
Can't spell happiness without hap.
Or pee.
Penis.
You can't have a penis.
I didn't want to get blue today, but I guess we had to. A fun question before we depart. So if you had to choose something to do for an audience of 100, would you make an ASMR video and people watched it alone, or do a live show where all 100 at the same time?
Oh, okay. So this is a hard question. I'm going to reveal something very embarrassing about myself with this question. Is that when I first started watching ASMR and I got really obsessed with it, I really loved ASMR. I was convinced that I was going to create an ASMR channel. I was like, I'm going to be an ASMR YouTuber, to the point that I bought a camera and I bought like a Yeti microphone. And like created ideas, wrote stuff out, did stuff for it. So the easy answer would be ASMR video, because I'd already deluded myself into thinking that I could do it. I never actually did, because I didn't have the confidence to, but like I definitely, there was a moment in my life where I was like, I'm going to be an ASMR YouTuber. It's going to be fantastic. Everyone's going to love me. And I mean, that, I feel like that alone just shows like the theater type mentality of just, yeah, like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be a star.
Yeah, everyone has it in them.
Exactly. But I feel like, and so as much as I say that, right, I have to admit, I really fucking miss high school theater. You know what I mean? Like hanging, yeah, with your friends, going to rehearsals and learning your lines, building out the sets. Like I love that process. And so if I could go back and do it, I would 1000% rather do like a live show with a group of people just for like the experience and like going through and performing that for an audience. Cause I don't have much issue like performing in a group of people, so that's less of a concern. I wouldn't mind doing the show, but the easy answer is I would make the ASMR video because I have the equipment to do it.
Who knows? Maybe an ASMR executive will listen to this and be like, we found our star.
I'm gonna be a star. But for real though, you have some crazy, there's like I know there was an ASMR person in like a YouTube Rewind or something. Like they're popular. Like they, uh-huh, get like millions and millions and millions of views. Like the big ones do. It's insane.
Yeah, and full moving to LA in these mansions.
Yes.
And like get interviewed on national television.
Yes. It's crazy. It's so crazy. Like there's some that do like anime role play, which I love. Yeah. That's really fucking fun. But then you also know that it's become a huge deal too, because you also have these like interviews with the celebrities where they make the celebrities do ASMR. Yes. Like, it just shows that it's, like, a thing. Like, people actors like it and enjoy it. Yeah. So, I love it. I fucks with it. Everyone should watch ASMR. Do it. You won't regret it. It's also because it, even if you've never really done theater before, which I hope, or appreciated theater, which I hope you have if you're listening, right, is that if you enjoy theater, you would probably really enjoy ASMR as well.
Yeah. And don't be, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yep.
Nothing's changed, except you've given a person a view.
Mm-hmm. Also, try different things, because maybe you watch something and it's not your cup of tea. Right? There's different types. Be open-minded.
And then close your mind when it puts you to sleep.
Exactly. Perfect.
Beautiful. And on that note... Thank you so much for joining, Cody. It was a blast. So, you want me to say it or no?
I mean, I guess I could. Okay. I only have Instagram, though. Oh,
what is it?
My Instagram is Cody, K-A-H-T-E-E-E. That's four E's. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jay.
No problem. If you would like to keep up with Highbrow Theater, we are on Twitter at, you guessed it, Highbrow Theater. You guessed it, it's not a part of that. We also have a Patreon. If you search Patreon and Highbrow Theater, you will see the wonderful benefits that you could take part in. And that is all. Bye, Cody.
Bye, Jay.